You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Did you call back? I called back.
Gilbert, fade away.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Ben Standing here for another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast, coming to you from Richmond. Yes, I'm motivated. I went to Wizards day one of training camp at the Siegel Center on the campus of Virginia Commonwealth University. And what did I see? You know what? We didn't see much, because we don't see typically much of the Wizards practice. And by much, I mean basically nothing. But still had the opportunity to chat with some folks, including one of the newest Wizards, Jody Meeks. This is after yesterday, on yesterday's podcast, I played a one-on-one with Mike Scott, another one of the free agent additions. Now comes Jody Meeks, so I'm going to play that for you guys in a little bit. I mean, he's going to be a very key figure on this team, and I'm sure most of you probably know why, but I'll explain why in a moment when I go through my four-point play, the four things that stand out to me today in the world of the Wizards. So we'll get to all that in just a sec. Quick reminder, as always, you can follow us, the Locked On Wizards podcast, on iTunes. Subscribe there. Anywhere else you do your podcasting, that works too. Just seems like most people do the iTunes thing. If you're there, hit the subscribe button. And if you got a quick sec to leave a cool review on iTunes, that would be swell for me. By the way, quick shout out to the folks over there on the Wizards Reddit page. You guys have been good about putting up the Locked On Wizards podcast there. Greatly appreciated. Anytime you guys have any thoughts, happy to hear them. And if you've got any thoughts as well, hit me up on Twitter at Ben Standig, or you can email me bstandig1@gmail.com. Let me know what is of interest to you here in training camp and with preseason starting next week. Let's not dawdle here, right? We'll get to Jody Meeks in a sec, but let's go through my four-point play, the four things that that stand out to me today about things in the Wizards world. Let's go with this. This is a relatively minor thing, but injuries are never minor, especially if you've paid attention to this franchise over the decades. But Scott Brooks talked today. He'll basically talk every day at training camp. And he told us that one of the Wizards' two-way players, Devin Robinson, is going to be, quote, out a while with a foot injury. He was apparently wearing a boot yesterday at media day. Wasn't wearing one today. Scott Brooks didn't have exactly all the details. But regardless, Devin Robinson is not currently practicing. He will be out for a bit. It's always tough for a rookie coming in your first training camp to be shelved. You know, we remember with Otto Porter, he was dealing with injuries his rookie year, and that put him back a little bit. So something to keep an eye on there. And again, Devin Robinson is one of the two-way players along with Michael Young. He wasn't going to be up with the team anyway, right off the bat, or at least you wouldn't think so. But nonetheless, it's something to keep an eye on. I'm a huge fan of this whole — am I saying D-League or G-League? I mean G-League if I'm saying D-League, of course. They change the name. I'll get that. Between that and the Verizon Center to Cap One Arena situation, I'm going to be making mistakes all over the place. I hope you guys are a forgiving bunch on that front. By the way, speaking of Devin Robinson and Michael Young, one quick thing to note. You know, the Wizards, of course, we know this, don't have their own G-League team there. The plan is they will have one for the start of the 2018-19 season. But I have been wondering, what are they going to do with Robinson and with Young? Okay, fine, you send them away. Like last year, Chris McCullough would be playing for different teams here or there in the G League. And Sheldon Mack, Daniel House as well. Well, what I was told is it is likely that the Wizards guys will go to the Delaware team. It's one of the closer ones. That seems like a pretty good bet. That's where they'll end up. But the other thing I found out, which I did not realize, that somebody from the Wizards staff will actually go with them to Delaware So they're getting specific training from somebody at the Wizards. And that is definitely a key point. It's not the same as having your own G League team, of course, but it's something. And, you know, good. At least that is happening. So that's a positive sign for sure. Point number two, Scott Brooks talked about a bunch of different players today, but one player he mentioned was Tomas Satoransky. So this is more or less a shout out to our boy Adam Rubin, who is of course the number one Satoransky fan and world famous, big time reporter, journalist over in the Czech Republic because of his Satoransky infatuation. Scott Brooks said the following about Satoransky. First of all, to reflect. I actually thought Satoransky had some moments last year, but you could see he lacked some confidence in certain areas, primarily with his shooting. And, he had some issues on defense, but I always liked, he seemed to be energized whenever he came on the court. He showed the ability to make some plays as a passer and a driver. So, what Scott Brooks though noted was that he thinks his confidence looks appreciably higher so far. Again, it's day one of camp, but he said he noticed that, and that Satoransky flat out just didn't quite know what level he was expecting coming over from Europe. That's a common tale we often hear with international players coming stateside. As for what to expect going forward, Brooks said, quote, he, meaning Thomas, understands what we want, an athletic guard who can play both guard positions. He then added, the minutes are there. Now, if Satoransky is being viewed as a guard, which he should be, obviously John Wall, Bradley Beal, they're going to play quite a bit. But then you add the free agent additions with Jody Meeks and Tim Frazier, and then there's Satoransky. So when Brooks says there's minutes, I don't exactly know what he means. I mean, obviously I'm not factoring in injuries or back-to-back games or things like that. You would think that if Beal and Wall, let's just say, play an average of 35 minutes each, then Tim Frazier and Meeks would gobble up the rest. But, you know, like I said, I've been a big Satoransky fan, was excited when he came over. I think he could play 6-7. I would be stunned if his three-point percentage didn't go up significantly. Granted, it wasn't super hot last year, but, you know, he shot a good percentage overseas. So I'd be down with seeing him play. That he's a bigger guy means you could play him in some three-guard looks, so maybe that is where some minutes could come from. In fact, with the Markieff Morris injury, perhaps Brooks is viewing it as Otto Porter and or Kelly Oubre will play some more minutes at the four, leaving some backup small forward minutes. Perhaps there, that's where Satoransky can come in, essentially in a three-guard lineup. We'll see, but I thought that was interesting. So hold out hope, Adam. Hold out hope Satoransky can, in fact, work his way into the lineup. I think he can play, but we'll see. He's going to have to work it. Point number three, this is not a Wizards direct one, but right before I started recording this podcast, Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, said it's basically going to be Dwayne Wade going to the Cavaliers once it's all set in stone. Not a shocker at all. Of course, it would be a reunion with for his former Heatles teammates, LeBron James in Cleveland. And, you know, look, let's not kid ourselves. Going to Cleveland, if you want to make the NBA Finals, going to Cleveland is a safe bet. It may be even a safer bet than Golden State, simply because there's more teams out west. Whereas in the east, you know, Cleveland seems to be a pretty good cut above all others. Or, you know, I mean, even if you want to say Boston or perhaps the Wizards or perhaps Toronto is there. LeBron is, you know, until somebody knocks LeBron off the throne, he's the king of the East. Now, as far as Cleveland goes, it was reported earlier this week that Isaiah Thomas may not be back until January from his hip injury, which by the way, when you look back at that Kyrie trade, it does change it a little bit for me in terms of what, from Cleveland's perspective. I still don't love that Boston finally went all in and they went all in on Kyrie, but we'll leave that aside for another day. In any event, if you look at Cleveland's backcourt, you've got Isaiah Thomas, but again, he's apparently going to be out until about January. Beyond that, J.R. Smith, geez, J.R. Smith, and you've got Iman Shumpert as the backup two guard. At the point guard spot, what are you looking at? Derrick Rose, who they added, Jose Calderon, and Kay Felder. In other words, Dwayne Wade, assuming he's, you know, healthy and all that, which I assume he is, Dwayne Wade is clearly going to be the best guard they have, at least until Isaiah Thomas is back. I'd be curious to see what Cleveland does in terms of, do they start Smith? Do they have Wade anchor the second unit? Do they flip it and have Wade start? I doubt they would start them both because that doesn't work. I assume Derrick Rose is the starting point guard. Although technically, I guess you could look at it if LeBron is your quote unquote point guard, and maybe you could get away with going with J.R. Smith and Wade. But either way, Dwayne Wade to Cleveland just gives them another scoring weapon, takes some of the scoring burden off LeBron now that Kyrie is gone. Kudos to them if that works out. It's still kind of a crazy point guard situation. I mean, Derrick Rose was such a disaster defensively last year, and Jose Calderon, you know, I'm pretty sure our boy Todd Billy Hoyle Dibas could get around Calderon. So we'll see what Cleveland does. They're going to have some, I won't say chemistry issues like a problem, but they're going to have to figure out a rotation, who's playing where in the first month or so of the year, which is why that Markieff Morris injury for the Wizards is so, it's never a good time for an injury, but it's sort of the one opportunity, as I'm repeating myself now, but the one opportunity for the Wizards, I think, had to maybe get for a real shot at the one or the two seed was to come out hot while Cleveland and Boston were figuring things out. But we'll see it. We'll see if the Wizards can still do that even without Morris. And point number four, I guess we'll call this the stat of the day. The Wizards, I looked this up earlier today, the Wizards last year were 27th in the league in bench three-pointers with an average of 2.6 a game. Now, they were middle of the pack in terms of percentage, about 34.6, but in terms of actual makes from deep, 2.6, 27th. Now, obviously getting Bojan Bogdanovic helped, but that was only for the last, 20 or 30 games of the year. And obviously Bogdanovic is not back. Jason Smith was slow to shoot the threes. He did pick it up for a point, but then of course, last year, especially when they went with Brandon Jennings, not a 3-point threat, Jan Mahimi, when he played, not a 3-point threat, Kelly Oubre, percentage wise, not a 3-point threat. And this all goes back to the guy who I interviewed today, Jody Meeks. Jody Meeks is a guy who makes 40% from three. He can fill it up from deep. The core, of course, the issues have been injuries. And he struggled to get on the court for the last 3 years. And that's why it is a fascinating move that the Wizards, fascinating is too strong. But it's a very important scenario here for the Wizards. They've taken a little bit of a risk signing a guy like Meeks because of the injuries, but at the same point, the upside for what they paid could be pretty good if he's really a 40% three-point shooter and gives them that pop off the bench. So we talked about some of that. We talked about the injuries. We talked about why the Wizards, when they showed interest, all that good stuff. Let's get to that right now. Here is one of the three free agent additions on the Wizards this year, Jody Meeks.
Well, let me start where we started yesterday. I was watching you doing the juggle thing yesterday. How did that become about? What age did you start?
I had no idea. Probably when I was 9 or 10 years old, just doing it for fun. So it's like riding a bike, you don't forget it.
Now you were doing like a little like plastic balls or something. What's the most like dangerous thing you think you could do and get away with?
No, I'm not doing the dangerous stuff, man.
So no bowling maybe balls, but fruit you're down with?
Apple. Apple going.
So no cantaloupe, something you can fit in your hand.
Yeah.
Is the as somebody who's tried this before, what's the key to being a juggler? I mean, is it beyond hand-eye coordination? If I want to get this going, what do I need to know how to do?
Hand-eye coordination, practice. That's it.
Everybody always says practice makes perfect with everything. I tend to start a project and then fade.
Keep practicing. That's all you gotta do.
Well, I'm sure that's how you became a 40% shooter from three. Practice. So let me just go here with you. Everybody's, interested to see what you can do. Obviously, with your shooting, is what this team definitely needs on the bench. Obviously, the question for you the last couple of years has been the health. I know it's been sort of kind of random injuries. How are you feeling now, right now, after day one of camp?
I feel fine. Past few years, just been a little bit of bad luck. Kind of freak accidents, as you would say, but hopefully that's behind me. So I'm just trying to stay healthy and take care of my body.
Is there anything to do, to practice, more stretching, whatever it is, to somehow avoid those freak accidents? Or is that just, hey, it is what it is? And
I mean, it's part of it. All you can do is take care of your body the best you can. Eat right, stretch, and see what happens.
So when you go into free agency this year, because you've had all the injuries, I don't know, what were your expectations going in? What did you kind of think was going to happen? Because you signed here pretty quick, like day two, I think.
I mean, I was just trying to get on a good team that could use shooting, and I wasn't really worried. And my expectations were just to try to get on a solid team, and I ended up getting on an even better thing than a solid team. It's a good team, a really good team. So hopefully I can help take us to the next level.
The listeners of my podcast will hate me continue to talk about this, but for like a month before free agency started, I kept saying the Wizards didn't have a lot of cap space. They need a guy off the bench who could score, a veteran, and I kept pointing to you for like a month. I'm like, that seems like a good fit between where the kind of the player's at and where the team is at, and then it happens. So you're going to have to so I look good as like a Nostradamus, but now you got to play to make me really
good. I do what I've always been doing my whole career. You'd be fine, right?
Absolutely. But so when you go into that, though, when did you find out the Wizards were interested? How, I guess, surprised you that moved that quickly? Because typically the first couple of days are some of the more high-profile guys.
12:01 a.m., July 1st. So, you know, it goes quick, so. Find out then.
And for the most part, probably you and Tim Frazier are going to be the second unit backcourt. How well do you know him, and how long does it take to sort of develop that kind of chemistry that you guys are going to need for a good year?
I don't think it'll take very long. I mean, time will tell, obviously. And training camp, we're just trying to get in, a little bit better shape. Monday's the first, Monday, right? First preseason game?
I think so.
Yeah, so we'll see then, and hopefully fascinating.
Just in terms of the basketball point, but beyond their interest, what was your interest in them in terms of the basketball? Yeah, what was your interest in them here?
They need shooting. I know that Coach Brooks is a great coach and heard a lot of great stuff about him. And I'm looking forward to playing for him. He gives these guys freedom, not only off the bench, but the starters too. So I'm looking forward to it.
I'm sure John Wall is going to be happy to set up another Kentucky guy. And just, I guess, lastly, what do you set expectations, goals for a season, whatever that may be, points, games, whatever that is? Do you have any of those goals?
My only expectation for myself is to stay healthy and knock down a good percentage of my shots. Everything else will fall in play. And for the team, I always want to win. So that's the biggest thing.
Cool. Hey, Jody, really appreciate it, man. Best of luck this year. And no more injury talk. Appreciate it.
No, right.
Thanks.
All right. Many thanks to Jody Meeks for his time. Yeah, as I said, I started to talk to him at Media Day, and about a minute in, we got cut off. So I just pretended it didn't happen. We started over, and definitely appreciate his time. You know, obviously he's going to be the key for that bench. Now he shouldn't be alone though. I mean, this year you would expect, let's put aside the Markieff Morris injury for a second. If Jason Smith is going to be coming off the bench, he's going to be another guy that can sink those threes. I mean, but he shot a really high percentage last year. We'll see where Kelly Oubre is at. Like, as I said before, if he can get to 33%, that would be a huge boost. Now, Tim Frazier, not much of a three-point threat. Jan Mahimi, not a non-factor from deep. Mike Scott's another guy who can hit that. So if you're talking about those six as sort of the, core for your bench, then, three of the six can make some threes. That gives them a chance to have more production from deep than they did last season. All right, so there you go. Day one of training camp in the books. That's the gist of it. I'll be back in Richmond for day two, and then I'll let you know what's happening there. I can already tell you that in advance, I've already pre-recorded an interview with Steve Buckhantz. I will play that for you probably for Wednesday's podcast. We'll see. It'll be sometime this week, I assume, but could be for Wednesday's podcast. I've got some other stuff in the can as well, so I'll play that for you guys. I won't even tease you with it, because why do that? But we'll get to lots more here on the Locked On Wizards podcast. Again, if you got a sec, subscribe on iTunes or anywhere else you do your podcasting. Hit me up on Twitter @BenStandick. Follow me there as well. And if you got any comments, thoughts, suggestions for the podcast or anything about my Wizards coverage, shoot me an email, bstandig1@gmail.com. Let's end it there. Thanks to you guys as always. And until next time, see ya.
Neal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby's trying. Caught. Long drive. Long power shot.